We will continue on Devatanupassana Sutta, part 2. So we discussed the three things last time. Today is the fourth one. Now, if there are any who ask, would there be right contemplation of dualities in yet another way, they should be told there would. How would that be? Whatever stress comes into play is all from fabrication as a requisite condition. This is one contemplation. That is sankhara paccaya. Because of the sankhara, we get this stress. From the remainderless fading and cessation of that very fabrication, there is no coming into play of stress. This is the second contemplation. For a monk rightly contemplating this duality in this way, heedful, ardent and resolute, one of two truths can be expected. Either gnosis, right here and now, or if there be any remnant of clinging sustenance, none returned. So either they become an arahant, or they become never returners. So what Buddha saying here, because of the sankhara, that volitional formations as a requisite condition, that all the suffering come into play. And having said this one, Buddha said further, any stress that comes into play is all from fabrication as a requisite condition. With the cessation of fabrication, there is no stress coming into play. Knowing this drawback, that stress comes from fabrication as a requisite condition, with the tranquilizing of all fabrication, with the stopping of perception, that is how there is the ending of stress. Knowing this as it actually is, and attain of wisdom, sees rightly, seen rightly the vice, overcome the fetter of Mara, go to no further becoming. It's really nice in Pali if you actually see that Yankinchi Dukkhan Sambhoti Sabban Sankara Pachya. Sankara nirodh, sankaram nirodhe natti dukkhasa sambhav. And also Buddha said that the sanya uparodhana, that is that the stopping of perception. Now, here sanskara or the volitional formation or the fabrication as translated over here, there is one gatha in Iti Uttaka, in Tikanipata. It's Buddha said that escape from sensuality is renunciation. If we have sensuality, then the escape is renunciation. Escape from form, the rupa, is the formlessness, arupa jnana. And the escape from whatever has come into being, that is fabricated and dependently co-arisen, is cessation. Whatever has come into being, that is for the existence bhava, and fabricated and dependently co-arisen, is cessation. So if you carefully see this one, the sensuality is that these thoughts that we have, sensual thoughts. And so the solution is the renunciation. And if there is form that you want to get rid of form, that means the formlessness, attainment, the formlessness, arupa dhyana, space is infinite, consciousness is infinite, and so on. And what about sanskara? This topic is about sanskara, the volitional formation. If you want to get rid of this volitional formation, it's only the cessation. So if you go back to this diagram about these three, this is the vehicle we are talking about. This is the aging diagram, we call that one aging diagram. That's how we go into aging, death, and so on. So here you can see, behind there are four wheels. The front there are two wheels. The front two wheels are the physical nutriment is one wheel, and then the birth is another wheel of this vehicle. And back you can see the line, musavada. The parusavacha, that's harsh speech, slander, and the frivolous speech. Those are the four wheels. These wheels are spinning. These are sankhara. See, in the path where we have marked physical nutriment, there is something called avijja, the covetousness, which I have not written down over here. That avijja, the covetousness, will create two of the chitta sankhara, you know, the mind's construction of things. So, they are, one is makka, the derogation, and the other one is palasu, disparaging. Those two are constructed, they're leading from the covetousness. So you can see what we do from our mind. You know, we have the actions of the mind, and the actions of the speech, and then we have the actions of the body. So, you can see straight away with the covetousness, you get those two. You get the other ones as well, because you get covetousness will lead to ill will, and ill will lead to hatred. So those are the mental actions. And they lead to lying, musavada. For example, if you are jealous about somebody got the promotion, you didn't get the promotion, then you would be telling that I am the one qualified, he is not qualified, as soon as you are saying that, you are lying. So that verbal actions are now occurring. And also that when I say that job is mine, whenever I say that is mine, which is not actually yours, that means you are lying.
Isn't that a perception, like you don't know that it is a lie?
Well, that you as soon as you have the vitakka vichar, the initial application and sustained application, that means, you see, the Buddha said, there are these things that you've done from your body, that is in-breathing and out-breathing, inhaling, exhaling thing. And what you do from the speech, the actions of the speech, is that the vitakka vichar. Initial thoughts and sustained thought. So, aren't they initial thought and sustained thought that this is mine, that job is mine? So, you are actually applying. You had the perception. Perception is look at a, like a Duplo building block or Lego piece. So, that's the perception. And you assemble things on that one. So, there is this vitakka vichara. Using the perception, going to that one. So, as soon as you do that one, you can see these back wheels are now spinning. You can keep on telling that one is all the time, you can keep on telling that this job is mine and so on. But it doesn't work that way. You are only telling yourself, that's all. And that lead to the other things. When that engine started, in the back engine, back wheels are spinning, that means you are going to harsh speech. You know, when the other person who got the job and you see that one, you know, there's this harsh speech. I'm taking this job as an easy example, easy to explain. Well, everything else is coming on the same way. And also that the slander, now you want to separate that person. You know, you want to separate that person from your friends as well. And so the other wheel is starting spinning. So these are the verbal things, and that will lead to killing, stealing and all those things as well. So those other wheels are spinning as well. Now you can see, starting from this covetousness, all the wheels are starting to spin. So these are the actions. So what Buddha said, if you don't want this suffering, so the result of that one is the one that you get over here. You know what you get? You get birth, aging, sickness, death. That's where we are leading to. You can see that there is this pyramid type thing. You can call it a patra if you want, right? And inside that patra you are there. Or if you think as a pyramid, you can see it as a pyramid. But where it's heading for the death. That's where it's spinning and heading.
So telling somebody so and so is like this is slander.
Yes, why would you so and so? I mean, if it is the truth, that if you are telling that one only for the purpose of, you know, out of compassion, if you are telling out of the compassion to correct that person, then that's a different thing. That is allowed. Not to harm that person. to correct that person. Even that person crying, Buddha said, doesn't matter. That you are telling the truth to correct that person. So the break, now this gatha is actually talking about the stopping of perception. Hmm? That stopping of perception is completely sankhara sanyaya uparodhana. The break is the perception. You use the perception, that is why it's marking red. Well, how do you get that break? You see aging. You see yourself subject to aging. You see other people are dying, my father dying, mother dying, and so on. And then you break. You see you have some sort of sickness. Then you understand, you know, that this is thing, so I need to, you know, slow down, break. So the perception, stopping of the perception is the way to stop this vehicle, otherwise it continues. If the vehicle completely stops, that means you have attained Nirodha Samapatti, the cessation of feeling and perception. Otherwise, you have the stopping, you know, the backing. You first go into neutral gear to stop the car, for example, you can say. You cut the power from the front side to the back side, right? Likewise, you go into the neutral thing. That means you are attaining the fourth jhana concentration, where you have the concentration with neither neither pressure nor unpressurable state. Having attained that one, you can see that this vehicle is not now transferring power back and forth. Hmm? Going into that particular state, then having seen that this impermanent nature of the consciousness, you can stop. So that diagram is very useful for that discussion. And we will...
Like when you stop perceiving things, only when you are doing meditation, right?
Well, no, you look the perception as the impermanent, subject to suffering, not self. So in the meditation, you use that one. And having practiced that way, now you know how to break. Having got it in your mind, you apply, you become mindfulness, you have the mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness established in yourself. Having seen a form, I don't go in that direction because I know that I get the covetousness and then the engine will start. So you stop that one in that way. And again, you can apply the about the feelings. We are coming back to the same diagram to discuss the feeling. It's very advanced here when it comes to feelings. And the fifth one, now if there are any who ask, would there be the right contemplation of dualities in yet another way? They should be told, there would. How would that be? Whatever stress comes into play is all from consciousness as a requisite condition. This is one contemplation. From the remainderless fading and cessation of that very consciousness, there is no coming into play of stress. This is the second contemplation. For monk rightly contemplating this duality in this way, heedful, ardent and resolute, one of two fruits can be expected, either gnosis right here and now, or if there be any remnant of clinging sustenance now returned. So here we talk about the vijnana paccaya, vijnana, consciousness is the condition for getting this, all the stress, the suffering. And then the vijnana nirodha is the way to stop that one. And Buddha further said, any stress that comes into play is all from consciousness as a requisite condition. With the cessation of consciousness, there is no stress coming into play. Knowing this drawback, that stress comes from consciousness as a requisite condition. With the stilling of consciousness, the monk free from hunger is totally unbound. So that means knowing this drawback. And we are talking about the consciousness here. Whenever we talk about the consciousness, think about the death. So that's the drawback of the consciousness, the dying. When someone passed away, you can say that, do you see that his body passed away, or do you sort of know by his consciousness has passed away, consciousness is no longer there with that body. So that's the death. When we say that person passed away, that means his consciousness is no longer there, consciousness is broken. It is explained in Mahanidesa, in Kuttaka Nikaya. And how do we understand this part now? Now again, we can go back to the same diagram. Same diagram, you can see this, there are some other dhamma to go with that one. You can see this particular printout about this first unprofitable direction is the dhamma that explains from physical nutriment into the birth. You can see it is all marked over here from the physical nutriment to birth. In the other diagram, it is marked physical nutriment and birth. So there are the 10 dhamma parts, teachings in between. So we discussed this one last week as well, but you can see the physical nutriment is the starting point. So where we actually see physical nutriment as this things that we eat in the simple form, and you can see our body also the physical nutriment. It's the same thing, because if I give my body to a crocodile, it will eat it. So the living beings become physical nutriment for others. So because of this physical nutriment, there is this perversion that there is fear in the foul. You can see this body has these 32 parts, hair of the body, nails, teeth and excrement, urine and all those things are there. Bad things. And we take it as fair while it is foul. And because of that one, there is this clinging to sensual desire. There is sensual desire, because if I eat food, for example, is tasty, then I have the sensual desire for that one. And if I see a beautiful person, there is this sensual desire for that that person. So clinging to sensual desire, and then that become the bond of sensual desire. And the body tie of covetousness, then now I actually hold that one very strongly. I am bound to that. And I want it. I ate it today, I want tomorrow. You know, day after tomorrow and so on. And then the taint of sensual desire, kama, so the flood of sensual desire, and come to the barb of lust, the raga salla. Barb of lust is that it has now grown quite big now. I can't control it. It's like a flood coming in. You are in the middle of a house, right? The flood is coming up and it's lifting you up and taking like that from this barb of lust. Now, when the barb of lust occurs, there's a form as a staying point for consciousness passing on. Now my mind got hold of the form, physical nutriment. So you can see I'm looping back to that one again and again. My consciousness get hold of this one. And this consciousness getting hold of, we call it vijnana titi, the consciousness holding to something. It's very bad. We like it. And that's how we get into trouble. So there are two kinds of vijnana titi, the steadying point for consciousness. And one is called arammana titi, that is the steadying point as object. The other one is the steadying point as nutriment. So steadying point as object means it's that any dhamma from the physical nutriment to barb of lust, you can see they are the steadying points. Well, I go to office, I live in the office, I do this work, all this become steadying point for consciousness. That's why we go to work. If there's no such consciousness, we won't, right? And that steadying point for consciousness, that is arammana titi, that means steadying point as object, is a condition for three things. It's a condition for nama rupa, name and form. And it's a condition for the nutriment. My mind will get hold of the nutriment. And it's also the condition, pachya, is for the puna power, the birth. So it's a condition for three things. So what Buddha said in this discourse, if you have this vijnana titi, in the sense that the consciousness as a requisite condition, it keeps on spinning. As soon as I hold of the if you look at this diagram here, about the 18 diagram, As soon as I got the nutriment, the edible food, I go through this salla, that is this praga salla, in the sense of barb of lust. I go up to that one and then I come back to this one. So you can see I'm spinning. I started spinning my wheel, front wheel, the axle over here. It started spinning. It's rotating. And this is actually, when you rotate in this way, it's called upadana. We are coming back to that one in a little while. It's not just one time my mind went through there is this upadana. I tasted it once. I like it, I'm munching it, you know, you can see I can keep on eating it. And this is how I get the upadana. I'm rotating this one again and again, going back to the same object. So you can see the engine started now. Everything works. And then over here, again, the consciousness, there is this, if you go to the fourth one in this one, and consciousness as nutriment, consciousness as nutriment, the perversion that there is permanence in the impermanent. Now I am thinking, it is permanent. Why am I thinking impermanent? Because my vehicle spin very fast. I can't actually see any change in my tire. You know, it is very fast. I am back to the same place again and again, again and again. So therefore I am actually thinking, because of the sanskar, nothing else. Because of the spinning, that you can't see that it is impermanent. I can arrive at that one very quickly. So faster you spin, you can see. In the meditation, when you go to the dhyana concentration, you are not spinning these things. Therefore you can see the impermanent nature.
Because you control five of the senses.
You control five of the senses, also you control the five hindrances. Because the covetousness, you know, is not doing anything, any harm at that time. Ill will doesn't do anything, and sloth and torpor doesn't do those things. So they are suppressed. Therefore, I can control my mind. The mind's actions are no longer happening, the bad ones. And then the verbal ones are not. Vitakka vichara is not there. So therefore you can actually see. So again in this one you can see that the self theory clinging, and again I am coming back to the barb of delusion, moha salla. When I have the moha salla, the barb of delusion, then my mind becomes the determination as steadying point for consciousness passing on. This is the fourth direction I am talking about. In the fourth direction you can see that I will get hold of the volitional formation. It says sankharupa paga vinyakti. That sankhar, the volitional formation, sanskar, the verbal ones, the mental ones, or physical ones. And my mind is going back to the same consciousness. Basically, the sanskara is constructing this one again and again rapidly. And my mind holding to that one. So you can see all the four things over here spinning. And at that time you do not know. You started with something else. Now you are somewhere else. Because you may be even in anger. Anything happening in between.
So what is the difference between astrava and salva?
Okay. Astrava is that if you take, going to the first one, for example, the first unprofitable direction, you can see there is this body tie of covetousness. The bodhita of covetousness means that the abhijja kaya grantha in Pali, that means I got hold into this, I got a knot, the knot regarding that particular object, or form, or the nutriment. I am not free from that one, okay? Now I am not letting that go. Therefore there is this tendency, anusaya. Why I have this anusaya? Not because of my, just I have been there once, that created that situation. I am familiar with that one. It is not that what is called purudha practice in this world. It is that my mind is happy to get hold of any of these dhamma. here. You know, the Vijnana Sthiti is turning point as object, is there for any of these things. It's like that I have eaten something. I am not now eating it, but I remember what was the feeling I had. I'm holding to that one. So my mind is over there. So that is called anusaya, tendency, underlying tendency. That's why you want to get that same food next day, you want to buy it, you know, bring it, that one. Because the food that we are talking about you have eaten is no longer there in your house probably. If it is there, then you will cook it. Otherwise, it's not there. But that tendency is there. Because I have tasted it. So the feeling, the perception, all that I remember, and it's creating this havoc inside your mind. That's right. Yeah, if you have the loathsomeness about the food, then you don't think about this thing.
Loathsomeness when it goes in the mouth, it is mixed with
saliva, yes. And also you need to observe it, how it goes into the stomach. And then you put it out as a, you know, vomiting, and then you see, you know, this disgusting nature. My eye reject that one, my ear reject that one. Because if somebody is talking about this vomiting things, then, and your nose very well reject that one. You know, it's, well, you can see some people's feelings when you talk about it, right? So if you really see that one, what is happening to us is we forget. We when you go in a bus in Sri Lanka, for example, people vomit, and at that time people, you know, cover their nose and look other way around and all those things. As soon as you get down from the bus, you forget. You know, the Buddha is asking us to mix these things before eating. When you mix, you can see how these things are. Right? So you need to see the particular tasanya properly in that way. So, getting back to the question here, because we are actually holding to those thoughts and things in the perception, everything here, there is this tendency, underlying tendency. Since I am not getting rid of the body tie of covetousness, there is this taint of sensual desire. That is the astral part. And the sulla is a version of that one. It is now have grown great. It's not that small. Now, you know, some people are addicted to drinking alcohol, for example, right? So they can't give up that one, and so they want to taste it and do this one, and they cannot stop it. When they see it, they want to keep on going with that one. So it's like you have no control when you come to Salla. So what has happened at that time is when you get this barb of lust, the physical nutriment, you know, it has got the foul nature. But it's wedged into our mind as a fair dart. That is what you need to remember. It wedged into our mind as a fair dart. It's in your blood now. You can't control. So that's the difference between this kamasa, or the sensual taint of sensual desire, and the barb of lust, the uncontrollable nature. It happened to us all the time. It will happen unless you get rid of this one. You know, that's how we go into the birth as well, by observing what other people do. So it's a really dangerous thing. So that's the about the consciousness. So we now come back to the sixth one. Now, if there are any who ask, would there be right contemplation of dualities in yet another way? They should be told there would. How would that be? Whatever stress comes into play is all from contact as a requisite condition. This is one contemplation. From the remainderless fading and cessation of that very contact, there is no coming into play of stress. This is a second contemplation. For a monk rightly contemplating this duality, In this way, heedful, ardent and resolute, one of two fruits can be expected. Either gnosis right here and now, or if there be any remnant of clinging sustenance non-return. So over here Buddha said the passapaccaya, contact as a requisite condition. And the passanirojha, contact, cessation of contact. And Buddha further said, for those overcome by contact, flowing along in the stream of becoming, following a miserable path, the ending of fetters is far away. While those who comprehend contact, delighting in stilling through discernment, thereby breaking through contact, free from hunger, are totally unbound. So this bhavasotanusaring is the word over here, you can see. Now it's like a stream. We got into a sort of a stream of becoming. Because we hold into our feelings, we are spinning again another wheel. That is actually the second direction over here. In this one, second direction, you can see the contact as nutriment, pasahara. And because of that one, there is this perversion that there is pleasure in the painful. So we think it is pleasurable, while it is actually not pleasurable. We will say, look at why it is not pleasurable. But normally we think that beautiful flower, it is pleasurable. Beautiful person is pleasurable. That's how we think. A good food, you know, is pleasurable. So this is the vipallasa. Dukkhe sukanti vipallasa. We think the other way around. We think that it is pleasurable. And that leads to virtue and duty clinging. Why virtue and duty clinging? Well, I tasted this one right now. It is good. Then I think I would like to have that one tomorrow, day after tomorrow, and so on. And now you think that your family is fine, everybody is fine, everyone is happy, and you know, my car is working, my job is there, and all those things are there, and happy. And then you sort of see another person more happier than you, that you think that person, you having seen a king, for example, you know, he has got all these things, you think he is a happy person. But he is not a happy person. Why he is not a happy person? You see that there was one king who actually became a bhikkhu. And when he went to underneath the tree, he always say, Aho sukheki. This is so pleasurable. This is so pleasurable. And then the other monks complain because that they thought that this monk is not actually abiding with Buddha's thing, and he is actually enjoying this these things. And then Buddha recalled that monk and asked, do you say that one? Yes, I do say these things. Why do you say that one? Because when I was a king, I was living with fear. And he was saying that I have the guards, all the guards guarding me and all those things. And while I am inside this the palace, you know, that living inside the palace, also that his quarters are guarded by the guards, still he's afraid other people will come and kill him. Now here he hasn't got any guards or anything. He's so happy he can go sit down underneath the tree and meditate. So he was saying Aho Sukheki. So it's so pleasurable. So see that we normally think when someone with a good car, the big house and luxury and things like that, they are unhappy. Well, over here they are so, maybe they are thinking about my stock market is falling and is burning over here, right? A beggar may be enjoying his life. The other person may not in that sense. And we normally think. So having look at that person, we would think, okay, well, how come he become like that one? Well, what should I do to arrive at, to obtain that one? Or maybe a person who is a student studying for engineering or something, and that he's thinking that engineers are behaving that way. They have this thing, or doctors or whatever thing. Oh, I should become a doctor. So like that one, you get this thing that I need to do. So you, that become, your learning becomes again the virtue and duty clinging.
That is it, that you are driven for the sensual desire.
This is completely, yeah. And again, you go to the temple and the monk will teach you that if you practice virtue, then you can be born in the divine world and so on. Now, okay, that's a good one. I will observe virtue. So, the Buddha is actually telling this is the biggest thing. You know, all the other things are included. The virtue and deity clinging includes everything else. So, when you have this virtue and deity clinging, silabbata upadana, then the bond of existence. For that purpose, that person actually learn. So, having seen an engineer is such and such, I made up in my mind that engineers are like this, right? They go in a car or sit down, whatever thing it is, you make it up, right? Having perceived as role model, you go for that one. And for that one, I am happy to live, I am happy to study, you know, I have to struggle, all those things. That's the bond of existence. Bhava Yoga. And then the body tie of ill will come to play. Why body tie of ill will all of a sudden? Well, I was happy, won't I? I want to go in with this engineering, or I want to go with this, you know, go into the divine realm or something. All of a sudden, something happened, disaster. A doctor will detect that you have a cancer. Oh, why me? That's how you come to anger, right? Why is it? And then, oh, tsunami comes in, the earthquakes happen. Something happened, you were fired from the job. Your wife died, husband died, something like that. And then you are very upset. So the ill will is there. And then the taint of existence, the bhava srav, the flood of existence, bhava oga, the bhava of hate. So all these things happening, you can see, as a contact, as a condition, we get all these things up to the existence. Bhava is existence here. We get all these things. So we are in that stream. What was actually created over here, it is the contact. You can see the contact over here in this diagram, aging diagram, is the steering wheel. Having seen something beautiful, you turn your wheel to that, go into that direction. Having heard something in that particular place, there is something nice, oh, let's go, right? You turn your engine, your vehicle. So the contact as condition, you can see everything is spinning over here again. So again, if you are stopping that one, then you can see it's the... So Buddha said over here that we are going in a wrong path. Kummagga patipanna. It's the wrong path. Following a miserable path. That's what Buddha said. Following a miserable path. And if you understand this one, that all these things are happening to you, then you can stop that one. Now we go to the seventh one. Now if there are any who ask, would there be right contemplation of dualities in yet another way, they should be told there would. How would that be? Whatever stress comes into play is all from feeling as a requisite condition. This is one contemplation. So you can see these are the dualities. You get that one thing that led to suffering, the other thing to the cessation of suffering. There is one contemplation. From the remainderless fading and cessation of that very feeling, there is no coming into play of stress. This is the second contemplation. For a monk rightly contemplating this duality in this way, heedful, ardent and resolute, one of the two fruits can be expected, either gnosis right and here and now, or if there be any remnant of clinging sustenance, none return. And Buddha said further, whether it is pleasant or painful, along with the neither painful nor pleasant, both the internal and external. Whether it's a pleasant, painful, along with neither painful nor pleasant. So there are three kinds of feeling. Pleasurable feeling, the displeasure feeling, neither pleasurable, non-pleasurable feeling. Whatever kind of feeling there is, having known this is suffering, false nature, disintegrating, having touched and touched them, seeing they are fall, thus one loses one's passion for them. It's a very great part over here. This part is actually appearing in Vedana Samyutta. The Samyutta Nikaya, Vedana Samyutta, this is the second gatha, second stanza in that one. Again, we can use this diagram to explain that one. You can see it's a marvelous diagram. It can be explained everything. So, Buddha said about the three feelings. Now, if you look at carefully this aging diagram, there are three things over here. One thing is that the giddi loba, the coveting, there's a one circle feeling linked into that one. And feeling linking to aging over here, that is the second one. And feeling going to this, the body tie of misapprehension, the third one. Those are three paths. What are they? One is leading to the loba, greed. Through the loba, the greed, you are going to birth. It's connected to the birth. The other part is the aging path. The feeling, you can see, that you are going to, it is through hatred. It is through the hatred that you are going to this aging thing. Remember in this one we discussed a little while ago that you have the contact and then there is a feeling. And then over here you have the body tie of ill will because something happened. You know, some sort of a thing happened, tsunami or something happened, right? Through that one you are going into this aging. And you can see it's marked aging over here at the end. Also, we forgot to mention in the last one, by following the first path, what you get is the pain. Why do you get the pain? You get the birth, and next one you can get the aging. In the third path, you get the sickness. The fourth one is the death. After death, when you are living in a mind-made body, you have this pain, even at that particular point, right? It is so strong. And we experience this one. You divide this whole thing. If you are living 80 years, you divide that pain 80. So you can see that every year you have this one. If you divide further, you can see every moment, every second there is. Because it's always touched in your mind. Why? Because you see yourself. If you are old enough to go in front of a mirror, then you see yourself, the aging. What has happened to you? Or else, even little child, you can see they break when you see grandmama is sick. Whenever you say to grandmama is sick, they look at, stunt for a second or two. And then they go back to the other thing. That's the break they apply. Because they can see the aging. So each time we hear, we experience this one. We forget. We have trained our mind to let go of that real nature. Grab the happy nature. That's what we have trained our mind for long. So, if you have the pain, and next, the contact is actually, what is the contact? Contact is actually the pain. So, if you get the contact as the pain, you get only the displeasure. That is the end result. That is the result. But we take it wrong. We are thinking that it is the pleasurable. So coming back to this diagram again, you can see now I have the feeling, my touching with the aging through the hate path. And feeling going to the birth to this loba, greed path. Loba, dosa, moha. Moha, one is the body tie of misapprehension. So this is the path that I go through. So you can see that I am spinning this all the wheels, then you can see the moha, the delusion over here. Now, you can see then my feeling, when I talk about the pleasurable, that also I'm talking about my nutriment and that lead to the jati. And when I talk about the displeasure, I'm talking about the aging. Because I'm getting touched with that one. I'm touching it again and again. And again, When I talk about the neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable, it is going back over here. You know, when I am actually spinning this back wheels, we have that nature time to time because how the wheels are spinning. Sometimes we are so greedy, we are going very fast in that one. Sometimes we have the neutral, balanced nature. And whatever kind of feeling there is, having known this is suffering, false nature and disintegrating. It's really nice in Pali. It says, etan dukkan tinatvana mosa dhammam palokita. Mosa dhamma. First we see the dukkan, suffering nature. How do I see the suffering nature? I saw this aging. I saw my grandmom subject to aging, grandfather subject to aging, I myself subject to aging. So I have seen that one. So I can see that, having known the suffering nature, I see someone pass away, death. Having seen that one, this is suffering, and then the false nature. What is false nature? Musa. In Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, Buddha said, Yang Musa Mosa Dhamma, Yang Satchanga Mosa Dhamma Nipana. Everything is Musa. All the constructed things are false nature. And only thing that is not subject to that nature is the Nibbana. Amosa Dhamma is only the Nibbana. So, you can see, we discussed little while ago that we are spinning this Musavada. When I say that this is mine, as soon as I say this body is mine, the doctor sometimes show you that it is not yours because he is happy to cut it away and take it away from you, right? When you say your job is yours, your department head sometimes show you that it is not yours, take you out of the job. And the robbers, sometimes you have properties in your house and you think that this is mine. Robber comes and will tell you that it is not yours, so he takes it away. And that time you can see that Mosa Dhamma that I have, I'm talking about, is not actually mine. I was just holding it from my mind as mine. It's nothing else. It's not mine. So, you can see again this Musa is there, Mosa Dhamma, false nature. And remember this Musa of lying is leading to all the other. Musa is leading to harsh speech. And harsh speech leading to slander. And all three lead to the frivolous talk. All three are actually called moha, the delusion, and delusion will construct this the frivolous talk. Mosa Dhamma, disintegrating. Paloka Dhamma. What is paloka here? You can see the feeling is now connected to the aging. Right? So that means paloka. I had a good skin, now no longer. I had hair, you know, black color is no longer like that one. So, and you see sickness, death. So that's why it is, the feeling is connected to the aging. As soon as you can say, you know, you have the feeling of that you are aged, you know, subject to aging. And
more than the sickness, that is what people are scared of, isn't it? The aging.
Aging
the
late to death.
You can, you know, cure it. But the aging, you know that you don't have a choice.
Well, the problem, yes, that's right. But the problem with this, the sickness, is that you have fear. You have fear that
you die.
You can die out of that one. So that is, that become, whenever you have that sickness will be there, then you have soka. The sorrow, you know, the nature, the volitional formation, sanskara that you construct has got the sorrow nature. So it's keep on coming. You are spinning these wheels, all the wheels leading to the same thing. And it is really bad. Buddha said that in one instance, that sorrow becomes a salla itself. And Buddha said that one person, a lady, mother died. And this person is coming to the town and asking, did you see my mother? She knows that her mother died, but she can't believe it. So, and Buddha repeated that one for the father died and another person's died, brother died and so on. So it's all the time it's happening. I have seen this example myself for someone, you know, that having passed away. He could believe, she could believe that, you know, is this real sort of thing? So that's the part. It is.
Sorrow arises from greed.
Well, it's actually all written over here. Yeah, it is. But you can see it is very well explained. Thanks to Mahabrahma Sahampati, it's in the third direction. It's in the third direction, and the sorrow is the result of the mental volition. And then the mental volition, you see, when you have the mental volition, our mind go back to the perception. So I perceive the displeasure. I perceive this is displeasure. And having got that perception, whatever the construction that I made for my mind, by regarding these things as mine, is has got the sorrow nature. So that's the direct result of that.
So pain is also sorrow, right? I think it's more than death, we feel pain.
When you have the pain, you straight away get into that upset mood, you know, that will that create the problem? Will I die? Or is this problem? What's happening to me? And all the thoughts are coming up. The pain you can endure, you know, you can probably take a Panadol or something like that one. But that sickness you have is not going to go like that. If you have a cancer, for example, you are living in fear all the time. Because as soon as there is some sort of a change in your body, you think that is one is coming back. And they have a big thing in their mind. So it's not easy to get rid of the sorrow nature when you have the sickness. And it's always there, but we don't understand it. We don't actually see it. We have this nature. If you are feeling hungry, that means you have this sorrow nature. Because we have the, Buddha said there are four sicknesses. There is a time, you know, the people will live 80,000 years, 100,000 years. By that time there are four sicknesses. One is the hunger, the thirst, the excrement and the urinating. Those are the four. So that means there is one sickness, four sicknesses, everybody got it. Without a doubt. Right? If you have that sickness, well, out of that fear aren't you going to work? That's why we go to work. We have that fear. If you think you have the money to eat and all those things, you wouldn't go to work. So, we haven't finished this one yet. Yet it says, having touched and touched them, seeing they are whole. What are we touching? We touch this feeling again and again. We touch the feeling that I am subject to aging. I am subject to death. I'm subject to sickness, I'm subject to birth. Having touched and touched them, having their fall, you see that people pass away. People die, you know. People subject to sickness. Having seen that one, does one lose one's passion for them? You no longer have passion for that, this thing. So that's that gatha, and this diagram is so great to explain that gatha. Now, there is any who asks, would there be right contemplation of dualities in yet another way? They should be told, there would. How would that be? Whatever stress comes into play is all from craving as a requisite condition. This is one contemplation. From the remainderless fading and cessation of that very craving, there is no coming into play of stress. This is a second contemplation. For a monk rightly contemplating this duality in this way, heedful, ardent, resolute, one of two fruits can be expected. Either gnosis right here and now, or if there be any remnant of clinging sustenance, none return. That is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the one will go on, the teacher said further. With craving his companion, a man wanders on a long, long time. Neither in this state, here nor anywhere else, does he go beyond the wandering on. Knowing this drawback, that craving brings stress into play, free from craving, devoid of clinging, mindful the monk links the wandering life. This is straight as well. This is tanna dutiyo puriso. We live, all of us, all are living with the craving as the second companion. Craving is our companion. Well, we have the craving for food, craving for other people. You know, you can see that the craving is your companion. So, with the craving as the companion, imagine that your companion is with you, the craving, and wanders on a long, long time. You're going from this one birth to another birth and so on, again and again.
That's why people say that They are bored when there's nothing.
Nothing.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So, because they don't know how to use their time.
Yes.
So they get bored.
So they need another craving. Yeah, but they don't get the satisfaction from that one, and then they go into another craving. So it keeps going. So it's going from one birth to another. So having, knowing this drawback, the craving brings stress into play. Free from craving, devoid of living, mindful the monk lives the wandering life. You see that if you see from birth to birth who you are, where you have been, that I have been in the hell, I have been in the animal realm, I have been in an ant, you know, I have been in this animal realm and all those things. And would you value your life? If you see that I am sort of a, you, let's say, first you have a conceit, mana, that I am such and such, I'm so and so, I'm big, right? I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer, I'm a scientist and so on, right? But if you look back to the previous birth and you see that you are a, you know, nothing, you are a poor person, you know, you are a beggar sort of thing. Well, I have been a beggar in one of my births. And if you see that I was in the hell and I was subject to this sort of suffering, and is there any conceit left in your mind that you think that you are? And one time Buddha looked at, you know, the ants, you know, they are going. And then Buddha said that each one of them has been a world-ruling monarch. Each one of them. Now the world-ruling monarch, and you can see an ant. So what's the value of this thing? If you see that I go from birth to birth and wander in the samsara, and if you see the actual peril of this one, that, you know, then you, as soon as actually I pursue my first birth, the first birth, a huge amount of conceit went away with that one. Because I was thinking that I'm a scientist here, then I must be a scientist in the first birth. That's what I was thinking. When you look at, I was a carpenter, right? And then, you know, I have been a very poor person and a beggar. And I had a divine life as well. I can record those things. I was in the hell, animal realm, all those things. So then you see, what's the value of these things? Again and again, I'm subject to this suffering. So would I want it again and again? That's what we need to think.
It's a real conceit.
Well, the conceit is the biggest one, because of having spin these wheels again and again.
Conceit is not, does not belong to you.
It's mana, because that I have two kind of things. When we talk about conceit, you need to think mainly two things. One thing is that there is this tanha mama and ditthi mama. Tanha mama is that I have a view clinging, then I have clinging for these objects. When I see, let's say, food or another beautiful person or another car or house or something, then I regard that one as mine. So that one is a conceit itself. By regarding that one, we create the conceit. The other one is that because of the bhavancha bhogancha, ahankara sabadattana, that means that I got this sort of a life. Let's say a 16-year-old girl who is beautiful, having been, they are arrogant, aren't they? So they actually think, you know, I'm beautiful, and therefore that I get a conceit. The same thing is there with us. Some people, because of their properties, I'm living in such and such a house. I have this sort of a body, tall body, big body, you know. We make up something. And because of my former karma, then I become ahankara, arrogant in that one. So that's become a conceit. And those conceit, this too is good enough to go into the another set of conceit that you can see. Arrogance, atimana, obstinacy, tambo.
Sir, there is something about to learn this dhamma that you said we get hungry, that is a sickness.
Yeah, it's a sickness.
Yeah, that is due to craving.
Yes, because of the craving we came into this.
Now that is looking with the Dhamma perspective. You see, scientifically, I have learned that hypothalamus signals are sent to the brain.
Yeah.
So the right attitude should be, I think, hunger is there to sustain, for sustenance, to take food.
Mm. So that's the right attitude, yeah. So we just eat for living. Do not live for eating. So that's what we should be. The Dhamma is quite a lot here. Probably we'll stop for today.